Here we've got a number of names, a number of celebrities. The first one here, you'll read Russell Brand, Lady Gaga, David Beckham, Tiger Woods. I expect many of you will know some of them. Some of you will know all of them, partly maybe depending on age. Some of them are famous for their sports. Some are famous just for fame's sake, it seems. Who are these people? Johnson Bihari, Denton Cooley, Brenda Hale. Now, I suspect those names are not as well known as the first. They weren't to me, I have to confess. I had to do a bit of research to find them, so I'm not as clever as I look. Johnson Bihari, he won the Victoria Cross. He is the only living man who holds the Victoria Cross for his valor in Iraq. Okay, Denton Cooley, an American surgeon, famous, still alive, famous for his work on the artificial heart. Brenda Hale, some of you may know, depending on your work, is the most senior law official, a judge in the United Kingdom, most senior female. Three people who have achieved remarkable things. And in the other slide, a number of people who are very well known. But what have they achieved in comparison? You might question. All of these people that we've just mentioned, Johnson Bihari, Denton Cooley, Brenda Hale, have been involved in worthy things. But what about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is more famous than those in the first slide. He's more famous than Tiger Woods. He is more well known across the world than any of those personalities that we saw in the first slide. But can he claim to have done as great a work as these people here in this slide? Is Jesus someone who is just very well known, who is famous? Is he more than that? Is he someone who has done something incredible, something truly worthy, notable? Well, Jesus Christ claims that he is so great that he calls upon everyone to worship him. If that were said of any of these people, we would dismiss them as insane, as the people who've lost it. But that's what Jesus says. He says, if you read through the Bible, the testimony and witness of himself, you come to the conclusion that the writers of the Bible believe Jesus Christ is worthy of worship. How does that hold? We're going to look at that now together. The verse that we're going to focus upon is, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And our first point is, every one of us wants to amount to something. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. Here, the word flesh simply means people, you and I, every one of us. All of us are likened to grass. You know, that green stuff on your garden that covers the fields and parklands. What is Peter saying here? Grass, what is grass? Grass is something that's very common around the world. What does it do? What does grass do? It holds the soil together, doesn't it? It binds the soil. If there's no grass, then in some parts of the world, if it's very wet, it'll get muddy and boggy. If it's a drier climate, you will get sand and erosion. So the grasses have the job of holding things together. Not exciting. It's not the most exciting plant in the world. You don't look at a blade of grass, generally speaking, unless you're a botanist, I imagine, in wonder. but it has a job to do. It holds things together. And Peter's saying here that in many ways, our lives are likened to grass. We're holding life together. Whether it be we're trying to keep our family together, our friends together, whether we're trying to maintain our popularity at school or in the workplace or amongst friends. But at the end of the day, all of that is just like grass. And it can be stressful. It can be heavy going to hold life together. Just to keep the mundane things in life in order can be hard work. And we forget, perhaps, what is beyond. We're so focused on just managing our life with all of its ups and downs that we just lose perspective of what really matters in life. But the Word of God says here also that all flesh is like grass, and in all its glory, like the flower of grass. The Bible speaks of you and I as not just something that is as mundane as grass, but as like a flower. What does he mean, the glory of a flower? You and I dream, every one of us, I am convinced in this room, dreams of greater things than just getting through the day, through the 9-to-5 job or whatever it is, or through school, through your studies. We dream of something greater. We have a hope and a vision of something that matters, a glory. The Bible uses the word glory to mean literally that which is important, that which really matters. In a garden, as I said, grass itself isn't particularly spectacular. But a flower, its purpose is to draw attention, isn't it? A flower stands out amongst the green of the grass with its beauty, with its fragrance. It makes a statement. It has an impact. And God is saying that He's designed you and I to have a glory that does have importance, that wanting to matter, that wanting to be something, to account for something, is inward. It's God-made. God made us. The flower, we are like its glory. But the reality is somewhat different, isn't it? We have all these dreams, but as you get older and you look back on your life, you feel like, well, some of the things that I'd hoped to do, I haven't. Some of the things I may possibly do, other things I know I will never do because of my life circumstances. Time is short. Why is it so hard to achieve our dreams? Well, here we say, looking at this verse, that the grass withers. It can wither for a variety of reasons, lack of sunlight, poor soil, or it's just coming to the end of its life. At some point, though, it isn't going to last forever. And your life and my life is withering away as well. Up to 18 years of age, okay, so if you've not reached that yet, you can lavish in the knowledge that up until the age of 18 years of age, the cells made in our body, the new cells outnumber our dead cells. So you're growing. Life is growing within you. But sadly, it doesn't last forever. Do you know that by the time you reach 25, the process is in reverse? When you reach that age, your cells in your body are dying and they're not being renewed enough. Gradually, you're withering. Gradually, over time, you're getting weaker physically and mentally. Time is short. And even the flower falls to the ground, it says here. That dream that we have, the grass withers and the flower falls. Whatever we imagine success to mean, whatever we put our hopes in and what our life would mean, The Bible says it's going to fall to the ground. It's going to come crushing to the ground, and it's going to become fertilizer, effectively, for the grass. That flower, that dream, it ain't going to last. It's going to topple over at some point. Think for a moment of people who seem to have made it, people who have success in life. Just imagine for a moment the most famous person that you can think of at the moment, okay? What happens, you know, they're in the spotlight, television, on the radio, on the internet, they're in your eye night and day, on Twitter, on Facebook. What happens when something goes wrong in their life? A scandal of some kind. Well, the whole world erupts, doesn't it? All attention is focused on that person. And what happens? It crushes them. That's the reason why people who have made it to the top are very often can be quite bland in their opinions. They're scared to speak out, often, for fear of what it might bring. When you put that weight of importance on a person, they can't hold it. They cannot have the strength, the fearlessness to hold to all that we put upon them in this culture. Sometimes, though, that glory can be broken, can be disjointed. It can also be denied us. People who suffer from addictions often say, I just want to be loved. I want to go home to a place where I'm loved. And the reason they're addicted to whatever it is because they know they have no such home to go to. Their glory is gone. The glory of life seems to either be spoiled in some way when we put it upon a person who cannot hold it, or we just don't seem to have it. We seem to be robbed of it. We are at a loss. But all of us, if we are looking to that flower, that place, that dream, in this life, be warned. For in this verse, it's clear. The grass withers and the flower falls. It falls to the ground. It will not hold, whatever your dreams are. But Jesus Christ, if you look to him, things are different. In history, there's only been one person who has been able to bear that weight of glory, who has been able to be put upon the world stage and not be fearful of people, but to be sincere in his convictions, to hold faithfully and completely what he knew himself to be. But what did he say he was? He said, in me, you will endure forever. How are we to find lasting glory? Well, Peter tells us, if we can have the next one, the word of the Lord remains forever. The word of the Lord remains forever. Something that endures is something that is recognized, isn't it? Something that lasts is something that is worthy. And not worthy just for a few people, but is recognized by many people. Take a proverb, for example. A proverb endures when it is tested over a period of time and tested in different cultures. Listen to a proverb from China. A closed mind is like a closed book. Makes sense. What about this one? There is only one pretty child in the world, and every mother has it. These things are truisms that just seem to endure. You know, there's something about them that just keeps on going. But the word of the Lord here, according to Peter, is one that remains forever. Now, this term word has significance. The word that is used here is the word of the one who spoke, and through his power, things happened. The world was made. In the Gospel of John, it opens, in the beginning was the Word. The Word there was a title. It was a title of pointing to someone who was truly great, who was so great that if you read it through, he made the world. But in the beginning, God created you and I. He created the heavens and the earth. This is the same God who is the enduring word, the one who lasts forever. In John, we see that in the beginning was the Word. He existed. He was never created. God has no beginning. There was never a time when God did not exist, unlike you and I. We can point to our birthdays. We can say, if we've forgotten our birthdays, to others, what is our birthday? It'll be there somewhere. There'll be a record of when we began to live in this world, but not of God. God is eternal. God is there forever and forever. Incredibly, though, God is also personal. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God has made himself known to us, not only as the great one out there in the universe, but he has made himself known to us through the enduring Word revealed in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. God has made known to us who he is. What is God like? If you ask that question, the answer lies in Jesus himself. You look to Jesus and you will find the answer of what God is like. The Word became flesh, John writes in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what he writes. God took on the form of a man. He came into this world. He lived, he ate, he breathed just like you and I. Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, is 100% God and 100% man. And the writer says, we have seen his glory. The apostles, the disciples, the early church give witness to the glory of Jesus Christ. So great was his glory that they put their dreams in him. They put their hopes in him. For he was full of grace and truth. And that is the glory that we should be looking for. That is the dream that we should be focusing upon. Jesus Christ. Only he is full of love, full of grace, and full of truth. Only he both loves like no other, and is fearless like no other to uphold justice, to live for what is right. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. But unlike any other, unlike the superstars and unlike the celebrities that we saw at the beginning, he chose to fall. You see, others, when there's a scandal, they fall, though they wish they could just run away. They didn't choose that. When their fame is toppled, it's disaster for them. But Jesus Christ, the one who is the glory, the one who's of the utmost importance, he chose to fall. Not to the ground, but upon a cross. He fell that through him, all who put their trust in him might be raised. Here, remember, the word of the Lord remains forever. Only those who put their trust in him will remain and endure forevermore in eternal life. Peter writes that when Jesus Christ chose to fall on a cross, he didn't do it by accident. He didn't do it because he was powerless in the hands of others. He voluntarily chose to walk that road, to be put upon that cross, though he could have at any time called 1,000 angels to his side. He chose to suffer in weakness for the reason that he would be the sacrifice that you and I might know what this glory is, that you and I might know what it is to be that flower, that picture of what is important, of what is beautiful, of what is fragrant, and what is attractive. If we put our trust in him, that is what we become in Christ. That's what we become in Jesus. He became a sacrifice for our sins. He pays for a glory that you and I have lost through our sin. You see, when we put our hope in people, when we put our dreams aside from God and focus on ourselves, that's what the Bible calls sin. Some of you may think, I don't need this God. He's unimportant. I can get on with my life without him. Many people do. You reason. Well, the truth is, it's not so simple. Because if you push God away, all you'll do is replace God with something else. Something has to fill your dreams and hopes. We're born to live that way. We're born to live, to behold a glory. If you put your glory upon this world, upon people in this world, upon your own life, it'll fall to the ground. It'll be consumed. But if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, behold him, though he fell on a cross, he rose again. He's the only one who has defeated death, who has conquered the grave, who is now in glory. And he calls you and I into a living relationship with him. That's the extraordinary thing, that we can know this God. The glory that you've been striving for, maybe the dreams that you have, at some point they're going to fall. They may fall quicker than you hoped, but at some point even death itself will take them away, if nothing else. Death itself. But Jesus Christ, put your trust in him and it will never fade. Your hopes will never be dashed. He will never disappoint you. He will never frustrate you ultimately, because you'll know that his love is like no other. His acceptance is like no other. Death could not keep hold of God. He rose from the dead. According to his own testimony, he witnessed and he spoke to his disciples that he must face the cross, but that he would rise again. He did it because he wanted you and I to join with him, to be with him forevermore. The word of the Lord remains forever. He is reigning in his glory, and he's calling upon you and I to join with him. Do you know that if you become a Christian, the Bible says that we will reign with him? That we, not that we become God, but that we are partners in some sense with him, that we have a privilege of being called children of God. You will not find that in any other sphere of life. Only in the gospel, only in the good news of Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners like you and I. Turn your love to him. Seek forgiveness in him. The word of the Lord remains forever. Behold his glory, full of grace and truth. And you will live and know what life is.